I don't know about you all, but I'm tired. I am tired of the rain. We have had more rainy days since mid-October, if not rainy, then they're gray and gloomy and cloudy. We've had a handful of sunny days, and half of them have been freezing cold and windy. I'm tired of the gray. I'm tired of not being able to travel like I would like to because of COVID. I'm tired of not being able to hug people, and I'm not even one of the hugging types. I'm tired of civil unrest in our country. And I'm physically tired. I start getting ready for bed at 8 o'clock. I'm almost always asleep by 9:30 and have been asleep as early as 8:30. Well, in today's passage, Yahweh spoke through the prophet Isaiah to a tired people. These were Jewish exiles in Babylon. They weren't prepared that they were going to be there for generations, and they were tired of being away from their homeland. They were tired of being ruled. They were tired of being in exile. And like many of us, when we get tired, they started to doubt the promises and the presence of God. Why aren't you answering our prayers? How long is this going to keep going on? Don't you see how bad those people are? The answer to the tired people is the exhortation to look at who God is, to trust in God's promises, and to wait upon God. First, we're exhorted to remember who God is. In our rapidly changing world, we serve a God who does not change. God is not fickle. And that which is really true, is true, has been true, will be true from the beginning of time for all people in all circumstances. And the ways that God is not like us is a good thing. In this passage, we're reminded of some of those unique characteristics of God. Our God is indefatigable. He does not get tired or weary. Our God is perfectly holy. Our God is omnipresent everywhere. There's no place that God is not. There's nothing that God doesn't see. Our God is all-powerful. Our passage reminds us how much God is in control. How much power do political figures really have, the passage asks. They come up, but scarcely have they come up, it says, then they are gone. How much power do corporations really have? To look at the power of God and God's plan in our world today, we can take China, for example. Did you know that China has the fastest growing Christian population in the world right now? And I can tell you that it is not easy to be a Christian in China. Church buildings, including those belonging to the Three Self-Patriotic Church movement, are being torn down every day. Christians are under constant surveillance. They are being detained. They are being put in concentration camps. They are unable to find employment. It is illegal to teach the gospel to children. And the government is now to the point that they're planning their own version of the scriptures. And yet, the trend continues. In 5 years or less, there will be more Christians in China than people in the entire United States. That's more than 330 million people. 330 million Christians in China. Because the gospel cannot be stopped. Because God is powerful. And the communist government is more than concerned. So your life might be difficult, and my life might be difficult. And my life might include some suffering, and your life might include some suffering. And it might really be hard, and it might be painful. But God's got you. And God's got the world. So what we know to be true, we must believe. We're called to remember the promises of God. My husband watched a video last week about a doctor talking about the connection between the head and the heart. That there have been some interesting cases of heart transplant patients who've retained a memory or a characteristic of their donor, which has led to some study of what is this connection between the brain and the heart. But in the Bible, it's been there all along. When God gave the law, God declared, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." Psalm 19 speaks of knowing God's word and learning it and studying it and knowing it both in our mind and in our heart. So when Isaiah speaks the oracle of God here, and I think there's some exasperation as Isaiah speaks, "Do you not know? Have you not heard?" And it's repeated. Of course they had. They had heard a million times. But they didn't have that heart-head connection. And the same is true for us at times, isn't it? What we know to be true, we must believe is true. We need to strengthen our heart-head connection. Our passage reminds us that when we start to see too narrowly, we should look at the stars. When we start to forget who God is and what God has promised, we should look at the stars. The stars remind us that God sees the bigger picture. If being awed by the creation itself is not enough to remind you of the greatness of God, the stars remind us of God's promise to Abraham. Promises that still remain in place, promises fulfilled and being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that if we believe in Christ, we are children of Abraham and heirs of the promise. In him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And even though it took decades for Abraham to receive his promised son Isaac, God did bring it to pass. God did send the one through whom all nations would be blessed. God was going to keep the promise of letting the captives return back to Judea, but it was going to be a while. And just as God knows all the names of the stars, God knows your name. Do you feel worthless? Well, you are valuable to the one who called you by name. You are valuable to God. We all have times of wavering faith, but the promise of renewal is sure. We can be renewed and restored every single time we doubt if we will rest in the Lord, if we will wait on God. The other translation is hope in God. You see, there are two kinds of doubt. One kind of doubt wants to see God's promises fulfilled, one that needs God to show up. It's a longing kind of doubt. It's the kind of doubt that even John the Baptist had when he was in prison and he sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you really the one?" The other kind of doubt is a kind of doubt that is hesitant and hostile to God even when God does show up. It is dismissive and excuse-making doubt. It is the kind of doubt that Pontius Pilate had. "What is truth?" he said. What kind of doubts do you have? One of the phrases that has been popping up a lot this past year is "trust the plan." It was particularly popular with the fake news group / cult QAnon. But the only plan that you can truly trust is God's plan. God's plan stands over all of time, and God has given it to us through the Holy Scriptures. We know that God wins, and we know indeed that God has won. And Scripture tells us that each of us is part of God's plan. God included us. How amazing is that? Your part might seem small. In the grand scheme of what God is doing throughout eternity, it might seem like a blip. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that no body part is unimportant or can be cast away. The very fact that you've been chosen by God indicates your significance. Do you ever wish that you were younger? As I said, my day job is at a cafe, and I feel pretty young and energetic until I stop. Then I sit back down after a full shift, and when I try to get back up again, my feet hurt. My feet kill me. My coworker that I work with is an 18-year-old. And you know what, though? She told me that she regularly goes to a chiropractor. Well, I only started going to a chiropractor about 5 years ago, although I wish I had started going maybe a little bit sooner. But she told me that her years of playing sports and horseback riding has caused some strains that need attention now as an 18-year-old. See? Scripture's right. Even youths grow tired and weary. Some people say age is a state of mind, but I say strength is a state of grace. The Bible tells us that in Christ we go from strength to strength. And this passage tells us that our strength is renewed as we wait upon the Lord. So what does it mean to wait? It is to live with expectation that God's promises will be fulfilled. The Arabic word for wait, which is similar to the Hebrew, has connotations of being tense with anticipation, firm and strong. Bible scholar Ray Ortlund writes that waiting isn't erratic bursts of hyperactivity with a general pattern of boredom in between. Rather, it is a steady, rugged progress sustained by the conviction that the display of God's glory in Christ is yours. When are you tired and frustrated and start to doubt God's plan, take a minute to stop and ask, am I bringing glory to God? How might I bring glory to God in this situation? After all, that is our chief aim, isn't it? Remember that first question of the Westminster Catechism? What is the chief end of man? What is the highest aim, the ultimate goal of human beings? To glorify God and enjoy God forever. To glorify God. The display of God's glory in Christ is yours. As long as we live every moment, we are either bringing glory to God or we're not. It doesn't mean that we always have to be doing something in order to bring glory to God. Our very existence gives God glory because we are the majestic creation of God. We best glorify God through our character. Sometimes it's way more important, probably most often more important about how we do something than the actual thing we do. Are you cheerful, kind, loving, gentle, patient, creative? Do you act with integrity? Are you honest, pure, and holy? These are the characteristics that give glory to God. And there are so many more qualities that we can add that reflect God's character and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God gives us a promise, and then we wait. Again, Ray Ortlund challenges us, are you willing to wait? Are you willing to let God set the pace? Or are you such a controller that you can't live on God's terms? We have several examples in the Bible of people who refused to wait. Abraham, the heir of the promise, was one of them. Abraham and Sarah refused to wait for God's promise because it took so long, and they grew impatient, and they took matters in their own hands, and it complicated things quite a bit. But God was still faithful. King Ahaz is another who refused to wait on God's promise, and Because he refused to wait, he was defeated. David refused to trust God at a point in his life and took a census, and he wasn't able to build the temple because he was a man of violence and war. Too often, we settle for quick fixes instead of taking times to do things the right way. How much energy, time, and money have you wasted or seen others waste because they tried the quick fix route instead of the right way? We do the same thing with God's plans. Our culture constantly tells us that we can have things our way and we can have them right now. There's a lady from one of my former churches who hates those commercials about get the credit that you deserve. Because she says, if you have bad credit, you deserved it, probably. Now, it might not be. You might have had an unexpected medical expense or some other kind of tragedy. But most of us get the credit we deserve by spending money we don't have. Now, because we want things right now. But most people, we get in our heads, over in over our heads, because we're impatient. Delayed gratification is a useful skill. Quick fixes and impatience leads to sin and painful consequences. But when we wait on God's promises, when we hope in God's promises, then we realize the goodness of God. How wonderful are God's eternal treasures. We realize that our God really does have our best interests at heart. So we can either give in to despair, or we can allow our strength to be renewed through waiting upon the Lord. It is a promise that is ours for the receiving. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your promise of strength when we are tired. We thank you that all of your promises are true, and we can see that in the promises that have already been fulfilled in your word. We thank you that you've already given us the end of the story, that we know that you win, and that we know that we are part of your plan. Lord, help us to wait, even when it's hard and when it's painful. Help us to trust you. Help us to have the kind of doubt that expects you to show up, that expects you to answer. And surprise us with your answers, Lord. We thank you that as we go through hard things, you are there with us. Remind us of the bigger picture. Help us to see the stars. We thank you for your presence with us. And most of all, for your presence with us in the person of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is 281, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.